As I mentioned earlier, Jonathan Green was interim city manager the last time we talked to him. Now the city manager. And Jonathan, I guess a pretty painless process there.
Well, yeah. I mean, the appointment was pretty straightforward, but these last 6 months for everyone in the state and in our world has been anything less than painless. It's been hard on everyone out there, so, but I'm mindful of what everyone's going through right now.
Yeah, you had to, I guess, really step up during that period, right?
Yeah, we had some challenges coming in to 2020 early on. I had to make some, in my interim tenure, had to make some hard budget decisions with the fiscal year that we were in, which ended on June 30th, and then kind of navigate the cave of COVID and its impacts on the city with a flashlight. And it's kind of hard to see where we're going, but we made some smart moves. We have a great team here in the city of Jackson pulled together. Found ways to sharpen the pencil, sharpen up our services, service delivery, make things some more efficient, and come out on July 1st with a balanced budget. And we're able now to be in a position where we can monitor what's happening at the national level and the state level and the local economy, and set ourselves up for making some tweaks and just keeping ahead of the COVID game and its impacts on the city, and while also making sure we do everything we can to keep people safe here in the city, city employees, and our constituents.
Is it hard to stay positive?
Well, you know, it can be, for sure. I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. There's been some tough times, some tough days, some tough hours, where it's just, you feel like you're getting slammed all the time. You can't turn around without having something negative happening, or you're hearing just a gut-wrenching story about what's going on right now. So it definitely can be hard to stay positive, but
yeah,
that's the only way you can be. You have to fight through this by knowing that there are better days that lie ahead. And, you know, I think the cliche says what, tough times don't last, tough people do. So we got a lot of tough people here in the city, a lot of tough city employees. We know what we're doing. We're locked in and engaged and, you know, doing what we can for the residents of Jackson.
So do you see light at the end of the tunnel?
Do I see light? You know, I'm hopeful. How about this? I'm hopeful that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay.
I'm a realist at heart. Definitely carry an air of optimism, so I know there's light at the tunnel. I think, though, we got to keep holding each other responsible and accountable. We need to keep wearing our masks. We need to keep social distancing. We need to do what we can to our own little ways tamp down this virus and the associated pandemic, because it means so much to all of us. I mean, stand back and think about it. You know, kids have gone back to school, and I think, you know, having kids in school is a relief for a lot of parents. It's also right now causing a lot of anxiety about,
sure,
what's going to happen. It also means to our economy, our food service workers, our gyms, you know, all the people who've been affected by this and continue right now to be affected by it. It's something you had to keep in mind. So if we could do our part, you know, everybody can be in a position to succeed, not just some different industries and some different parts of the state.
So really, you know, there's a lot of different challenges, but you've got the budget and then you've got the human aspect, and you know, that's those are balls that you're juggling there.
Yeah, well, you know, it is. It's part of the job. The numbers are what numbers are. It's the human aspect that, you know, can be the most stressful. I want people to be healthy. I don't want to see anybody getting sick. And I want to make sure people, you know, especially the people who work at the city and the people who live in the city, can enjoy life. Again, I feel like the cloud of 2020 was so dark for so long. You know, it's nice to think about this ending soon and brightening up a little bit. I think we could all use a little bit of relief, the pressure reduced on us all right now.
Well, hey, let's go back. You come here, take over the Downtown Development Authority about 10 years ago. Maybe it was even longer than that. And now you've had, I won't call it a fast rise, but certainly a rise to the top of the city pyramid here. That's pretty unusual.
Is it? I think maybe in our current times where people, in order to move up, they move out. It seems.
Yeah, was that a goal to be a city manager, or is this something that just naturally occurred?
No, it's definitely a goal. Definitely a goal of mine to be a city manager. And I'm so blessed to get to do it here in Jackson. I can't think of a better place to manage, a better place to live, raise my family. I don't want to go anywhere else. And I just feel so blessed that I've been able to work hard, take advantage of some opportunities, build good relationships with people, demonstrate my work, and definitely, and rise to the position I'm in today. I truly feel blessed by this.
No, I'm not saying you were handed it. Obviously, you worked for 10 years to move up the ladder.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to come across. It's just, you I think in times before you started an employment with a company and you would work your way up over time. And this is the way I see it. It's kind of like that. I've paid a lot of dues. I'm going to continue to pay a lot of dues. I'm a firm believer in, you got to keep pressing forward. You got to keep demonstrating why you're hired and why you're in a position. So I'm definitely not going to rest on my laurels. I'm going to bring the energy that I've had for the last 10 years and keep at it.
What's going to make you successful, Jonathan?
Well, I think what's going to make me successful is really creating partnerships, collaborating with people, and creating a culture here in the city with our city services that's customer oriented. I think that if I can do those things, if I can share in the good times of the city with some of the big players here, and we can all manage these hard times, we'll be successful. And it comes with strong relationships with our community, with our residents, with our businesses, with our nonprofits, with any other organization in town. That's what's going to make be successful. It's just the success of others that is really what I'm looking for, and promoting good stories and good vibes and good success in others, and that will make me successful.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but your predecessor was, let's say, brash and straightforward. You're more of a facilitator. Is that fair?
I'm a facilitator. I definitely have my own opinions. I'm not afraid to speak my own opinions. My approach, though, is to seek common ground and to ultimately answer the question, what is in the best interest of the city of Jackson? And I think when you start with that question, and anything you engage in, you usually can come out with an answer that appropriately answers that question.
Yeah, well, before COVID, I guess we were in probably as good a place as we've been in an awfully long time. Would you concur?
Yeah, I mean, downtown was rocking and rolling, and to a large extent, it still is. We have our construction projects going ahead in our downtown. We've been able to take the success we've had downtown and start to spread it out in the neighborhood. And I want to continue to do that work, whether it's infrastructure projects like we have going on Franklin Street right now and Morrell and MLK. And, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Corridor Improvement Authority that's being contemplated for MLK. I think that's going to be a really transformative tool for our South Side, and it's important to recognize that. You think about that street. It's a gateway into the city, and you know, I think we can do a lot there to emulate and replicate the success we had downtown in that area. And I think it's a natural extension for us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hats off. Everybody has moaned about, you know, the Greenwood Park project, the Cascades, even 4th Street, and those all worked out. I think they worked out beautifully, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. You know, change can be tough. It's not everyone's cup of tea. But I think, you know, you stand back and you look at things. Now, as you said, it's like, yeah, it does work. You know, we've got a lot of good success we've had in the last few years. I think we're, you know, even in the times we're in right now, we're poised to take advantage of some opportunities and keep going. So a lot of our infrastructure work will continue. And I think that will just continue to set the table for private investment. And that's what it's really about. Government can't do everything. We need private investment, and you're seeing that in our downtown. And I truly believe we'll start to see that spread in a positive way through our neighborhood.
Well, like Kibbe Road, I know there were a few people that were really blowing their cork over that, and that just turned out perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes down to change and, you know, just letting things play out, being open to a different way of doing things. I think if 2020 has shown us anything, like that is like the key ingredient to a good life is being open, being open to change, being open to different ideas, and being open to doing things differently. That is basically 2020. When we talk about people working remotely, you talk about people flexing time, you talk about parents having to teach children at home. Like everything, 2020 has been a year of change, and I think if we can get through this, we'll be able to do anything.
Yeah, pre-COVID, you know, the restaurants were just on fire downtown. You couldn't even get around on the weekends. Now that has really changed. Are you concerned for the restaurants downtown?
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about all of our businesses in Jackson. You know, we really need to do all we can to put the pandemic to bed, to support cures, and to do, like I said before, whatever we can in our small ways with social distancing and masks to put this to bed. It means so much to our employees, even the people who enjoy the restaurants. If we were probably given an option back in February, March, if we had a crystal ball to know how this was all going to play out, and we could say, all we have to do is spread out and mask up, and this thing will go away. I bet we wouldn't have had the great debates over those things like we thought. But now, it's become clear. Like if we take these basic measures, we can get people back into our favorite restaurants, eating and working there, and back into our gyms. It's I got to be honest with you, Greg, the YMCA, I really want the YMCA to be open. It's a great asset to our community, and I know in our house we're really missing it.
So. Tomorrow.
I know we're waiting with bated breath on that one.
Yeah. Of course, this would be a huge weekend downtown with the Labor Day and a car show and everything else, so we miss out on that, too.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we talked about me coming to Jackson, starting out as the Downtown Development Authority. You know, there was a period of time in 5 years where we had only missed a cruise-in once during my time there. Mm-hmm. And now a whole season's worth have been canceled. It's all these events, these great Jackson events that keep us going all summer long and provide so much fun. And it's been sad to watch the calendar days tick by and miss out on the cruises, or the Jubilees, or the Musters, or Blues Fest. Start to listen like that, you can get pretty down. But
you could listen there for a half hour.
Yeah, we just gotta hope and pray next year is going to be different, and won't it be great to? I bet the 2021 events are going to come off super successfully, because we're all going to miss each other so much.
We certainly hope so. It's tough to plan during this, though. Isn't that difficult?
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's some days it seems near impossible to plan to plan for all the eventualities of how the virus might spread, but also how this was going to affect our operations, how it would affect our finances. I think we're all in the same boat where for a while it's hard to figure out what was going to happen next, what the next day would bring. But, you know, you use the information you have available at the time, you make the best decision you can. And as I said a couple times already, you have to be open to changing it, shifting, adapting. And if you can do that, you know, you'll be okay. And I think that's what we've done here in the city. And I know that's what the people in Jackson have done every day. They've just figured out what they got to do that day and how to get it done. And they'll tackle the next day.
Of course,
we've had success like that.
Your big departments are police and fire. Any concern there going forward?
Well, it's always something you need to watch. As you said, those are the largest impacts on our budget right now. I feel comfortable where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to look at things, where we stand on revenue, where we stand on expenses. We need to continue to make smart decisions with the taxpayer money. But it just keeping an eye on it. We only spent a few months of our last fiscal year up until the end of June under the COVID economy, and now we're going to be facing basically a year under the COVID economy. So it's not keeping me up at night, but it is the first thing I think of when I wake up, and something that you know, we talk internally about, making sure we stay on top of the situation.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about this. I'm sure you've thought about it on the Talk Back Jackson show. If we ever had a police incident here, such as just say Kenosha, what would happen here? That will keep you up at night.
Yeah, you know, thinking about that does, and looking at the communities where that's happened, does make you wonder, as a leader, how I would respond to those situations. And we've talked about it, and I think there are good examples out there. You know, Detroit, you know, that had a tough situation earlier in the summer. What they did in Detroit that I think was smart, they shared all information, all audio, all video of incidents right away. And they accept the responsibility for their actions. They explain their actions. They shared all the information they had with people. And I think if we, you know, that's probably a good starting point. Should something, and I really don't feel like our culture here in Jackson lends itself to something like that happening, but if it does, that's right. Where I would start. I'd just face confronting situation, being honest, sharing information as quickly as possible, accepting responsibility, and making changes that are necessary if something like that happens.
I'm sure they said the same thing in Kenosha, that nothing like that could ever happen here.
And
it happens.
Then it happens. You hope. I believe the culture and the relationships between our law enforcement community and the city is a very strong one.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a very, very professional police department. They treat everyone with respect and dignity. I think that while other cities have policies on paper that look to address these things, what we have in Jackson, I believe, is a really strong culture of community engagement, of the police working with people in our community, establishing relationships, growing those relationships, maintaining those relationships, and creating a strong bond between the police and our community. I think that's where for me it at least gives me the hope that something like that wouldn't happen here, and the why it wouldn't necessarily happen here.
Well, you lost one of your big cheerleaders yesterday with Wendy Clifton going into retirement.
Oh, Wendy. I love Wendy to death. she was a downtown development board member for a lot of years. I can definitely call her a mentor, call her a friend, and definitely more ways than one. She was definitely a mother-like figure for me, and you know, I'm very happy for her and Terry. They deserve a good retirement. They deserve to have some time to themselves, for sure. They've worked really hard, and if you want to talk about cheerleaders of Jackson, I don't think you know, you could ask for any better cheerleaders for Jackson than Wendy and, yeah, and Terry Clifton.
Well, we appreciate your insights. Congratulations on
thanks, Rick,
taking over, getting rid of that. We kind of got rid of that interim title. Oh, you also have an assistant city manager, Shane Laporte. What does he do? Carry your golf clubs?
Wow. Definitely not. You know, Shane has a variety. He fills a variety of roles in the city: policy development, constituent relations. He's very adept dealing with constituents, and you know, being a city employee for as long as he has, especially the police department, he has a lot of community relationships that I think are so vital to have for success of anyone. So Shane's been a great asset for me. You know, I've enjoyed my success so far. It's largely on the people who I work with and who support me, and Shane's right there.
Jonathan, appreciate the visit.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Greg.
Yeah, take care.
You too.
We'll be in touch. Jonathan Green, city manager.